that's what more than conquerors do. They refocus their vision. He says, know in all these things. The former words being inserted in a parenthesis, these are an answer to the question in verse 35. Look at verse 35. In verse 35 it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or peril or sword? And his answer to that is no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Paul says, no, it shall not. They shall not. Nor any other things mentioned. In all these things. Now, your thing may not have been written specifically, but it's there. You can write it in yourself. In all whatever this. In all this that I'm going through. In all that that I'm dealing with. Insert these things in your life that you're struggling with. And note that those things are also included in these things. In all these things, trials and tribulations, pressures and problems and pains, distresses, anxieties, depression, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, or any other kind of thing. Whatever we focus on, we empower. If we focus on all these things will sap us of our energy, our vitality, our strength. It will destabilize us from being people of faith. We become people of sight. Whatever we focus on, we get it done. If we focus on the negative things, we will empower the negativity in our lives. This is true. If we focus on selfish and carnal things, we empower our fallenness. If we complain and murmur and fight and focus on how unfair life is to us, how unfair everything seems to be in our difficult situation, we're not helping to resolve the issue. We are giving the issue more power. We're doing it here in our minds. Instead, we're actually empowering more frustration, more anger, more bitterness, more disappointment, more disillusionment, more injustice in our own lives. More than conquerors refocus their vision in these things. What a way to think about these things. Because in these things, we normally fall apart. And these things, we normally lose faith, hope, perseverance. We lose that I shall not be moved attitude. We tend to lose that enthusiasm to trust God through it all. If we choose to focus on the realities of kingdom truth, then we empower love, we empower hope, we empower light, and the life of Jesus flows in us and through us to all around us. Now, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. But Paul, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through something that's devastating. I'm going through something that's frustrating. I'm joy of the Lord is your strength. And then you press through it by faith. See, near the end of his letter in Philippians, he shares how this is all possible by choosing what we focus on when we're in it. And all these things. I don't know what all these things are to you today, but I know you have them. I have them. I'm not going to name all of them. But Paul gives us a general category of all these things that apply to all of us today. So by deciding what we think on, by filling our mind with thoughts that are true, honest, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, of good report, we gain the strength to persevere, to endure, to overcome what's attempted to overcome us. And it overcomes us mentally and emotionally and physically and psychologically, and then it tries to trap. Listen, beloved, Paul wrote this from prison, not from the palace. Chained. He was locked up in awful conditions, not sure if he would live or die. Yet he wrote again and again about things like joy. Read that Philippians 4. That whole chapter is about joy. It's about rejoicing. It's about confidence. It's about an eager expectation. It's about the privilege of walking with Christ. It's about hope. It's about confidence. It's about peace. His focus was heavenly while he was struggling in the earthly. That's us. Our focus is heavenly, but we're dealing with the earthly. He looked to the eternal while confronting. This is it. Victory lies right here in focusing on the permanent instead of the temporal. Focus on the spiritual instead of the natural. Focus on the heavenly instead of the earthly. That's how you experience what you are in Christ more than. More than a victor. More than a conqueror. It's your focus. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says, for this light momentary affliction, that's what he calls these things for us, light momentary affliction, is temporary, right? So it's light. It has a little weight because it's not going to last long. Trouble don't last long. It has a purpose. God has a plan. We can't see it all the time, but we have to trust this all-knowing, all-seeing, eternal, loving, gracious God to do what he's going to do. He said this light momentary affliction is doing what? Preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You can't begin to compare what you're going through now with what you will experience then. There's no comparison. But this is how we do it. Verse 18. As we look or focus on things, look not to the things that are seen, but look to the things that are unseen. You need a spiritual vision. You need a faith vision here. For the things that are seen are earthly, fading, falling things. But the things that are unseen are eternal, permanent, heavenly, forever. And that's what we're living for. We're not living for the light things. We're living for the weighty things. It relies on your capacity to give God the glory no matter what, to praise him anyhow, to say hallelujah anyhow. Don't wait till the battle is over. We can shout, for we know in the end we're going to win. Oh, that's beautiful. But you've got to believe that. You have to receive that. And then you've got to act on it. This has got to take control of your attitude, your affections, and your actions. This is not about just having the knowledge of God. This is God having a hold of you. And the preacher said it earlier. It's not about you getting more of God. It's about God getting more of you. So we glory in the struggles and the pressures because our faith and joy does this. It increases in the crisis. And that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you can watch any sporting event, and when the other team is winning, they're rejoicing. And the team that's losing, they're just sitting there, quiet as a church mouse, looking like, what in the world is going on? Well, that's how we were acting. Just past Friday, when we were playing Mishawaka Cavemen, so the Snyder Panthers came in there. First half, I turned the TV off in the half part. I said, we lost this thing. And then we heard and found out that we were gaining. So we turned back on the show. It was a battle. And we saw them learning the strategies of the other team, counter every move. We saw true Panther football defensively. And then we start rejoicing. And then the other side, quiet as a church mouse. Beloved, that's not the Christian experience. When it feels like and looks like we're losing, that's when we're winning. When it looks like we're down, that's when we're up. It's a paradox, isn't it? Is that when we feel like we're defeated, we're really victorious. Because the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. He's sovereign control over the outcome. It's not our grit. It's not our wit. It's not our athleticism. It's not our biblical, fluidity. It's not anything of us. It's trusting in God's power to move when God chooses to move. It's like we got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We got to put on the whole armor, and after we've done all we can do, we still stand. We're standing. We're not. He didn't say go forward. He didn't say charge. He said stand. Why? Because the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. It's amazing that in the midst of defeat and distress and doubt, that's when God works most miraculously, most intimately, most transformatively in the lives of his people. It's by the blood of Jesus that we already have. When God uses our hardships to turn around for our good and his good. What is what happened to Brother Joseph? In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, after Jacob died and his brothers were afraid that Joseph now was going to kill all of them for what they'd done many years ago to Joseph. But in verse 20, Joseph told his brothers at the death of the final patriarch of Israel, who was Jacob, he says, as for you, talking to his brother, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Did you hear what he just said? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So God caused the evil to bring good out of it. Wow. God allowed
talk about what he dreamt about and all the great things he was going to do. He was just being a youth. Not a lot of wisdom there. But they were being jealous. And they became bitter and angry to the point that their hatred toward their younger brother led to a possible potential death. But they said, no, we're going to kill him. We're going to hurt our daddy. Let's do something. Declared in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them, for the good of them who, that love God and that are called according to his purpose. We don't always know what the purpose of God is, but we trust God is in control of his purpose. That's the first reality. The first reality that more than conquerors refocus their vision. Secondly, more than conquerors, listen, they remember their position. Yes, they do. He just told them what their position was. He said, we are more than conquerors. I know you don't look like a conqueror today. You feel like a conqueror today. But you are. That's your position. You can have a person that was drafted from college into NFL as a quarterback, and you can sit behind that present quarterback for 5 or 6 years. But guess what? Your position is what? You still, because it's your position. It doesn't change because you're not actually playing the role of the quarterback. It doesn't change because you may not feel like you're a quarterback. It is because they drafted you as a quarterback. But that's what God did for you. He called us to be more than conquerors. That's our position. We may not be experiencing that conquering reality all the time. We may not be having that victory on a mental, emotional level. But, beloved, nevertheless, we are still more than conquerors. That's our position. We cannot be separated from the love of God. Paul also says that no one can bring a charge against God's chosen. It is God who judges. It is God who has already justified us in his Son, Jesus Christ, which is irrevocable. In other words, beloved, we need to think like a victor, not like a victim. That's not right. So the devil's only chance to devour believers is if we stop believing that we're Lord and conquerors. If we stop believing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If we stop believing that God is in control, that God is sovereign over our pain, our problems, and our pressure. If we stop believing who we are in Christ, guess what? We become victims. The devil loves victims. He loves victims and he devours victims. So we got to lay hold, beloved, of the truth that we have the victory in Christ because we are victorious in Christ, and we have to not take up the lie that we are victims because the devil attacked us. The devil attacked us because we are Lord. He's one of the three enemies of the Christian. The flesh, the world, the devil. If we think ourselves as victims, we become victimized. We give the devil the opportunity he was looking for to devour us, to rob us of our hope, our faith, and our love. Not because he's so mighty. He's not mightier than God. He's a created being, so he's not eternal. Right? But because we have chosen to lay down our power by exchanging our overcomer's identity in Christ for a victim identity in our current circumstance. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Oh my God. A conqueror, beloved, defeats his enemy, but the one who is more than a conqueror subjugates the enemy. A conqueror nullifies the purpose of the enemy, but the one who is more than a conqueror makes the enemy serve his own purpose. A conqueror strikes down his foe, but the one who is more than a conqueror makes his foe his servant. God, listen, God not only delivers us from our suffering, listen, he also makes our pain and suffering serve his purposes. I can show you one example is Daniel. In Daniel 1:8, Daniel is one of the greatest champions of the Old Testament. He was besieged, captured, trafficked, persecuted, attacked, and thrown to the lions, mocked, and even more. Yet despite being victimized, right, by circumstances, by the Babylonian government, by their laws, yet despite being victimized in a variety of ways, Daniel refused to be a victim. His name was changed, but he didn't change his diet. Guess what he said, Daniel 1:8? This is key right here, beloved. Daniel, guess what he did? Made up his mind not to defile himself. What I'm telling you is that whatever situation you're in, you need a made up mind. It's right there. David made up his mind. He made up his mind not to be defiled by the situation that had been forced on him. He made up his mind not to partake of the things of that place and those people because he knew they were not good for him to have a made up mind. He made up his mind not to be a prisoner of bitterness and offense. He made up his mind to have power over himself, even if he didn't always have power over his circumstances. Oh, it's a lesson in that. We can't always have power over our circumstances, but we can have power over situation control us. Y'all hear me? What is God's purpose for us today on earth? Why are we here? To be more like Jesus. That's what Romans 8:29 said. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the goal of your Christian life. So everything you go through will be used by God to conform you to the image of Jesus. Everything you have to deal with is designed for you to look more like Jesus, talk more like Jesus, live more like Jesus, love more like Jesus, suffer more like Jesus, endure like Jesus. And lastly, more than conquerors, we claim his sacrificial blood. That last part of verse 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. They reclaim his blood. Romans 8:37 tells us, it is only through Christ that loved us that we are able to reclaim his love in our pain. The merit of his death, taking the sting out of all these troubles. Spirit of his grace strengthening us inwardly. The enabling us to bear under the weight of the burden. And with holy courage and constancy, and coming in with special comforts and supports of the Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors. Not in our own strength, but in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. The theologian Matthew Henry states, we are conquerors by virtue of our interest in Christ's victory. He has overcome the world for us, both the good things and the evil things of it, so that we have nothing to do but to pursue victory and to divide the spoil. And so we are more than conquerors. A songwriter once wrote, it wasn't the nails that was nailed to his wrist or the nails in his feet. The rope strapped the challenges of life to handle us. Give us boldness by your Spirit, because we are more than conquerors through your Son, Jesus Christ.